problems that sort of the goalpost has been changed since that trial was initiated. Most doctors are now giving FOLFOX, particularly for patients who are at higher risk for recurrence. So the question, of course, now is where does capecitabine fit into this whole category? We know that capecitabine has a very nice toxicity profile. Going head-to-head with the Mayo Clinic regimen, the toxicities across the board were less than the Mayo Clinic regimen, except for hand-foot syndrome, where about 17% of patients did have severe grade 3, grade 4 toxicity. But the reality is that this will occur during the first cycle. Then you attenuate patients, and then typically they will do fine for the rest of their adjuvant course. I think the greater problem is where does capecitabine fit in the era of FOLFOX? And looking at the exact data, you see a subgroup analysis where it looks like the greatest benefit, if you try to break down the stage, or they didn't actually give you stage, obviously, but they broke it down by nodal status, N1 and N2 disease. And it looks like in that analysis, at least, that the N1s did better than the N2s, which makes sense to me and would actually fit in nicely with the FOLFOX paradigm. In my mind, I would say that the patients with N2 disease, the patients who have higher risk for recurrence, really should not even be given an option. Those patients should be really pushed towards FOLFOX. But patients who have a lower risk for recurrence, patients perhaps with N1 disease, and patients who wish to avoid the neuropathies, those patients may actually be good candidates for capecitabine. So perhaps the stage 3A patients would be a group of patients that would do well with capecitabine. In my own practice, the patients who have high-risk stage 3 disease, I push the high-risk patients to FOLFOX. In the low-risk patients, I actually have an intensive conversation with them about the risks and benefits of FOLFOX versus Roswell Park versus capecitabine.
What are the situations where you'd use Roswell Park as opposed to capecitabine?
In my opinion, I think that the Roswell Park regimen is well suited for an elderly patient who needs sort of the social support of coming in, seeing the nurses. Often, frankly, they enjoy the stimulation of coming in. Capecitabine is a therapy for a business professional, somebody who adjuvant therapy is in their way, and they want to have the least number of interruptions possible. But in an elderly patient for whom it's good, probably, to get out of the house and to come in, I think the Roswell Park regimen does have some benefits. Now, we really haven't seen any comparisons between Roswell Park and capecitabine. It's always been compared against the Mayo Clinic regimen. So I don't know how a toxicity analysis between the two would work out. I suspect that Roswell Park would have more diarrhea, probably more hematologic toxicity and stomatitis, but the difference would be less than compared with the Mayo Clinic regimen. So I do think that Roswell Park, particularly for debilitated patients, may still be an option, although I think that for younger, healthier patients, I try to either push them to FOLFOX or capecitabine. And I also make very sure that they understand the potential benefits of getting the oxaliplatin, because I don't want them to have any regrets when they have their recurrences.
What about stage 2?
I think stage 2 sometimes has a higher risk for recurrence than stage 3. A stage 2B colorectal cancer, in my opinion, has a higher risk for recurrence than a 3A. And I think that, again, that is a group of patients where I would consider all three options. Although, particularly some of these nasty tumors that have perforated, I would tend to push them towards FOLFOX.